We're up to Daf Chavav. We'll begin from the bottom of Chaf Heim Rebeis, the new Perek, the new Mishnah, the third Perek. The Mishnah Perek begins, B'nei ha'ir shemachu rechova shel ir. If a city decides to sell their street, we'll see the significance of a street in a second, they sell it, they could use that money, lochin bidamav beis knesses. They could buy, with that money, they could buy a shul. If they sell a beis knesses, lochin teva, they could buy a teva, an ark in kodesh to keep the sefer Torah. If they sell a teva, they could use the money, lochin mitfachos. They could use it to buy mitfachos, which are the cloths that were to cover the Sefer Torah. If they were to sell mitfachos, to sell off the covers of the Sefer Torah, yichus farm, they could use that money to buy Sefer Torah. But Rashi is not Sefer Torah, even though usually farm referred to Sefer Torah. In this context, Rashi says it means nevim ksuvim. You could buy nach with the revenue from selling the mitfachos. And if they were to sell the Sfarim, they sell Nach, they could look in Torah, they could buy Torah, a Sefer Torah with this. If they go the opposite direction, they sell the Torah, lo yichu Sfarim, they can't buy something of less Kedusha, they can't buy Sfarim, which is Nach. They sell Sfarim, they can't buy lo yichu Mitpachos. If they sell Mitpachos, those covers for the Sefer Torah, they lo yichu Teva, you can't buy something less Kedusha, you can't buy the Aron Kodesh. They sell the Teva, lo yichu Beis Knesses, they can't use that to buy a shul. And Beis Knesses, they sell the Beis Knesses, lo yichu es harichov, you cannot use it to buy the street. And so too, any leftovers. So let's say they were to buy, they sell a, say, shul, to buy a Sefer Torah, that's permitted. But let's say the shul costs $1 million, and the shul and the Sefer Torah is only $50,000, so there's a lot of extra there. That extra can be used for something else. All the money used, that's gained from selling the object, you can only buy something of equal or greater value. Kedusha.
Can you buy from equal value?
So the Gemara, I might address this. I don't remember if the Gemara does address this or not. Let's see. I'm not sure. I guess we'll have to see if the Gemara addresses it. I don't know.
So the Reisha Mashma...
Correct. Exactly. So Lekla Mashma Mina. We can't imply or infer anything from here, but it might be bring another Raya from elsewhere. I don't remember. Gemara says, B'nei ha'ir, Shemachu Rechova Shalir. So the city people sell the Rechov, the street of the city. So Amar Rabba Bar... Rav Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zu Divrei Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi Stuma Sa. That's only according to Rabbi Menachem Shita. Who's Rabbi Menachem? What means Stuma Sa? So if you look at the first Rashi in the Gemara here, Zu Divrei Rabbi Menachem Behedya Amina B'Tosefta D'Megillah Dehu Amra. He's the author of this statement. He is the Das Yachid that says this. Aval Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, HaRechov Ein Bo Mishum Kedusha. There is no Kedusha of the Rechov. You could sell the Rechov for whatever you want, and it has no value at all. And you can use that money to buy anything else, anything else that's mundane. So what's the machlokas, whether the Rechov has Kedusha or not? Rabbi Menachem, Bar Yossi, my time, why does he think there is Kedusha? Ho'ol v'ha'am mispalin bo betanios mamados. When it comes to fast days, when it comes to the mamados, which you mentioned in the past, when the different days of the week, members of Klai Yisrael would go to the Beis Knesset and lane sections of Ma'aseh Bereishis in order to represent Klai Yisrael for the Karban Tamid. So they would go in the street, apparently. So that gives the Rechov a certain level of Kedusha. So the response is, Rabbanon Hahu Akrai Ba'almahu, that's not considered something Kavua, that's not set. That happens to be, sometimes they overflow into the streets, but that doesn't give it a level of Kedusha. It's no different than the Mishkan. The Mishkan is temporarily in some place in the Midbar. That's only Arai. That's not going to give it Kedusha. It moves. So to us, this only Arai, it's only Bakrai, happens to overflow sometimes in the street. That will not give it any level of Kedusha. Okay, the Gemara now says, Beis Knesses Lochin Teva. If you sell off a shul, you're allowed to use that money to buy a Teva because that's Malin Bekodesh. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu Elo Beis Knesses Shel Kfar. You're only allowed to sell a shul that's owned by the village because the villagers have the rights to that shul. If they decide to sell it, they're allowed to sell it. About Beis Knesses Shel Krochem, if it's owned by the big cities, Kevan de Ma'alma Asule Lo Matzi Mizabni Le. Since people from all over the place come to New York City, and they're coming to do business, and they're going to daven in various shuls, so you have no right, even though you might live in Manhattan, it's not yours. The entire world has a chalak in this shul, because they all daven there. So you have no way to sell it. It's not right for you to sell this without asking their permission. So you can only sell a shul of a small village, where you know everybody agrees in the town or the village, but not those of the big city.
This is applied to giving it up as well?
To giving it up.
Give it up.
I mean, just walking away, as opposed to selling it?
Like in Gaza, when they just gave it up. They walked away.
Right.
It's giving up. They didn't sell it. They got to give it up.
Right. So the Gemara on Amar Beis, I think, talks about a case of giving it away as a matana. That would be, as opposed to selling it. We'll see if there are any differences there. That would be a more similar case, probably, giving it away. So, now this is, happens to be an interesting Tosos on top here. Look at Tosos, Dibra Maschil, Kevin Dim Alma Ka'asile. Nir Lafarish Hachi. It appears to explain as follows. Kevin Shirov B'nei Adam Regilin Lalecha Sham Lispalel. Since many people come davening in these big cities of Manhattan, Afa Pisha Ein Nosen Klum, they don't pay membership. They don't pay Klum B'nei Nano for the payment, the maintenance of the building. Mekom Akum Kevin De Ladas Osen Rabim Nasa Chamura Kedushasa. Since it was built, they built this huge building, anticipating that people are going to come from all over the world to daven there. That gives it an added level of kedusha and also a further bialis on that shul. Even though they never paid into that shul, they still have some level of control. That's the first pshat in Tosos. And then he says, Od, Yesh Lefarish, Kevin Shirabim, Nosen, Bivinyano. No, everyone pays membership. Even if you come to visit, even if you just daven there for mincha time, people are going to pay some level of membership there. Ubishar Tzach, they're going to pay for something. So therefore, they actually do have a bialis over this. So the Tosos has two deyas, where the person can have some level, some say in the shul, only if they have membership, they pay membership, or even if they simply daven there, that also gives them some level of bialis in decision-making here. Well, you're not even allowed to sell it. That's the point. Forget that. There's no money to use, because you can never sell it. The Kedusha is so chamer, you can't do anything with it.
If, let's say, theoretically, everybody agreed.
If, it sounds like from here, it's impossible to get everybody to agree. It's Rabbah means that you can't collect everyone. It's impossible to, Shul Manhattan, Chabad in Midtown, there's no way to get everyone who davens there to agree. Just, you don't know who even davens there. Okay, the Gemara says further, Amar Rav Ashi, Hai Beknista, Dimas Machza, the shul that exists in this place called Masa Machza, which is Rav Ashi's shul, even though they come from all over the world to come daven in his shul, they come for me. So he's the Rebbe. He comes to see the Rebbe there. So therefore, he has full control of what the decision making is. Even though it's a huge shul, everyone's coming to daven. Since they're coming for him, he has full rights to sell the shul, and that does not qualify as a base knesset of the Karachim. Umar asks a question. Meisivei. Amr Yehuda Ma'isa Bebeis Knesset Shel Torsim. There was a certain shul in Torsim. Rashi says, "What is Torsim? It's not a place." It's referring to Tzorafei Nechoshes, the coppersmith. Shaya B'Yushalayim. This shul in Yushalayim was reserved for coppersmiths. Shemachula Rabbi Eliezer. They sold it to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, if I remember correctly, was very wealthy. I think the Gemara says in Yuma talks about a person ever claims at the end of their time that, you know, if I was too poor, I couldn't find my yitzhar, I needed money, I needed to steal, well, you couldn't be any poorer than Hillel HaZaken, who climbed to the rooftop and who snowed in. Remember that story? Then he wasn't allowed in, so he got covered by the snow, and then they woke up in the morning and they saw some figure on top. And the person says that his yitzhar was too strong, well, you couldn't be a harder situation than Yosef HaTzadik. So therefore, if Yosef HaTzadik was able to overcome his yitzhar, you could also. Now it comes to the usher, says, "No way, I couldn't learn. I couldn't do mitzvahs. I was too involved in all my wealth throughout the world." Well, you couldn't be wealthier than Rabbi Eliezer. He owned thousands and thousands of islands and boats, and he gave thousands of meiser each year. So he was very, very wealthy. So he bought a shul once on his own. So Asa Bakol Tzrachov, and he did anything he wanted with it. He made it into some a stadium. I don't know what he made it into. So Vaha Hasam de Krachem Havu. But wasn't that a case that Beis Knesset of Torsheim, of all the coppersmiths, would come from all over the world to daven in the shul? How could he sell this? So Hava, Hahi Beis Knista Zute Havi, Ve'inu Avdu. That particular shul was not a public one. It was only used for the coppersmiths. How do they define Zute here? Zutra means small. Zutra means small. Does Zute also mean small? Zutra means small. It might also mean small here. Yes, it means small here. And they, the coppersmiths, made it for themselves. It wasn't a public shul. It wasn't owned by the Ba'alma. That's why he was able to sell it. Meisi Ve'ed, the Gemara says now, Bibes, let's get the pasuk, Bibes Eret Achuzaschem. This is referring to the halachas of Tumas Tzeras Nega that appears on the house. So the Gemara says, based on the pasuk, Achuzaschem Mitame B'Negaim, only your properties that you have Achuzah, that you own, that are divided amongst the Shvatim. Only those houses and those properties are subject to the halachas of Negaim. V'ein Yushalayim Metame B'Negaim. But any houses that are found in Yushalayim are not subject to Metame B'Negaim because there's no chelik. Nobody owns Yushalayim. It wasn't nechlak to the Shvatim. It was neutral zone. That's what the Gemara initially says. Okay. So Amar Reb Yehuda, Ani Lo Shemati, I didn't hear that. Ella Makom Mikdash Bavad. The only area in Eretz Yisrael which is not owned by anybody is the Beis HaMikdash Shalom. But the entire Yushalayim around that is owned by certain Shvatim. We'll get to who owns it. Gemara says, what do you mean? Habate Knesi Azabati Mejashos Mitamin? Does that seem to imply that all shuls, all Bate Mejish, are Mitamin? How could that be true? Ha de Krachim Havu. They were owned, they were huge. Yerushalayim was a huge city. People came from all over the world. So how could you say that? So Gemara says, no, let's tweak Rabbi Yehuda Shita and say, Ema, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ani lo shemati ela makom mikudash bevat. I only heard that the makom and mikdash, base and mikdash, and any other kadosh place, such as a shul and a base medjish, all those are not subject to Tumas Negaim, because it's owned by everybody, it's owned by the Krachim. Only something that's Achuzas Chem, that there's a bailus over it, are subject to Negaim. Shuls and Bes Medrashes are not subject to it because it's not owned by anybody, it's owned by the Krachim. That's how he gets out of that question. Exactly. Only if it's individually owned is it a subject to Mitame Negaim. Shuls and Bate Medrash are not individually owned, they're owned by the Alma, and you can't sell it off.
No, but he says, Makom Mekudash, not Makom Mikdash.
Right, no, that
Mekudash could be even a shul.
No, that's the answer. That's exactly the point. Makom Mikdash, initially he said Makom Mikdash only, which is the base of Mikdash, which would imply that shuls can be subject to Mitam and Mindigam, which implies that it is individually owned. But how could that be? Yushalayim is a krach. It's not individually owned. Mara says, no, it's Makom Mekudash is the new way we read it. And you're right. And even Bate Knesios cannot have Tumas Negaim because it's owned by the Tzibur. So Gemara wants to know now, what exactly is this Machlokes, whether Yushalayim is subject to Negaim or not? The Tanakhama says the entire Yushalayim is exempt from the halachas of Negaim. Rabbi Huda says only the Makom Mekudash, but residential areas are subject to Tumas Negaim. So what's the Machlokes? But my Kemiflagi, Gemara asks, Tanakhama Savar lo nishalka Yushalayim l'shvatim. Yushalayim was not divided amongst the Shvatim. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Nischalkel Yushalayim the Shvatim. It was divided amongst the Shvatim. So that's it. That's the Machlokas. Ubeplukes the Hani Tanai. And that Machlokas is the same exact Machlokas we have in the following Brisa, whether or not it was divided amongst the Shvatim or not. What's this Brisa? The Tanya. Mahaya Bechelko She Yehuda. What was in the portion of Yehuda? Harbayis, Halishchos, Hazaros. Those are all the lishchos, are different chambers that were in the Beis HaMikdash. And Harbais, these are parts of Yushalayim, of course. So we see that parts of Yushalayim and parts of the Beis HaMikdash was given over to Yehuda. Uma, the Brisa continues, Uma haya bechelko she Binyamin. What did Binyamin have control over? Ulam, which is the inner hallway of the Beis HaMikdash. Heichal, that was where the Mizbech HaKtaris, the menorah and the shulchan were. The Beit Kodesh Kadoshim, the innermost place, where the Aron is. Ritzua Hayisa Yotas Mechelko Sheyehuda, V'nichneses Bechelko Sheyehuda. And there's one little strand. Binyamin really had most of the portion of the Beis HaMikdash was in his chelik. And that's, by the way, we mentioned this earlier, the Gemara and Megillah here. When Yosef and Binyamin met up in the Midbar, in back in Mitzrayim rather, and they were crying on each other's necks. So, I think we had this in Gemara and Megillah. So, Yosef was crying on the neck of Binyamin, and Binyamin was crying on the neck of Yosef. So why was Yosef crying on the neck of Binyamin? Gemara says, because the two Bate Mikdash were going to be destroyed, were in the chelik of Binyamin. So here we find that the Beis HaMikdash was in the chelik of Binyamin. So Gemara says, but there's still a little ritzu, a little strand, a little strip that Yehuda had that dipped into the chelik of Binyamin. And that area where the Yehuda had a little strip, that's where the Mizbech was built on. And Binyamin HaTzadik Mitzar Aleh B'chol Yom. And Binyamin HaTzadik was so bothered. And by the way, anyone know why he's called HaTzadik? Binyamin HaTzadik? Gemara in Babasa says he's one of the few, Shabbos or Babasa. Exactly, one of the four who never have an Avera. He's called Binyamin HaTzadik. So, but yeah, Binyamin HaTzadik, so he was Mitzar Aleh B'chol Yom Lebol. He wanted to just swallow, absorb this chelik of Yehuda who was in his chelik. Shinamar Chofef Alav Kol Yom. He was hovering over that little strip of Yehuda all the days.
Wasn't he dead?
Huh?
Wasn't he not alive then?
No, it doesn't mean physically there. That the sar shel Binyamin, the minister of in Shemayim, whatever that means exactly, he wasn't physically around. You're correct, but his whatever that means in Shemayim, he wanted to just absorb Yehuda's chelek. What do you mean?
Jealousy, Kina, that he didn't have that peace.
Uh huh. It was coming. It wasn't. No.
It wasn't that upset.
Right. Kina sofrim for Talmud Torah, but not for other things. It could be though. Okay, it's a good. I'm not sure exactly. Lefikach, therefore, zacha binyamin v'nasa ushpizchin l'shchinam. Since he so desired, it wasn't because of jealousy. He just wanted more of Hashem. He wanted more of the Beis Hamikdash, more of the Shechina. Since he wanted it so much, he was zocha that the Shechina was going to be in his house, in his home, which refers to, I think Rashi says, where's Rashi? That the Aron Kodesh was in his chelik. The Kodesh Kadashim was the chelik of Binyamin. He was zocha to have the Iker Shechina rest in his area. Now, the truth is, when it says here in the Gemara that Yehuda had a strip in Binyamin's chelik where the Mizbeach was, the Gemara in Zvachim says it wasn't the entire strip. The Mizbeach had a yesod around it. The yesod means a foundation. So if you imagine a Mizbeach for a second, on the outside there's a little platform that went around the entire Mizbeach. Except there was one corner that was not on. Okay, just let me build this for you for a second. Okay, let's do from your perspective. Okay, north, south, east, west. Okay, east, west, you guys, east to west. So you come in, the Mizbeach is this way, south to north, ramp up this way. And this is the top of the ramp. Now there's a yesod going around the entire Mizbeach, except that last corner, the southwest corner, did not have a yesod. That was empty. Because Yehuda had that part. That corner was Yehuda's. It wasn't the entire Mizbeach, just that corner. No, that's correct, yeah. Am I wrong? Oh, there's a picture here? Oh. Oh, sorry, you're right. Okay, I apologize. So it's the southeast corner he did not have. Southeast side did not have the yesod. So that's the chelek that Yehuda dipped into, that part where there's no yesod. That's what the Gemara says in Zvachim. So there's a lot of depth there, but it has to do with, in Api Kabbalah, that the yesod is connected to Yosef HaTzadik, and Binyamin HaTzadik is connected to Yosef, their brothers. So that has a lot to do with Yosef and the yesod and Binyamin. But we'll leave it at that. Okay. Fine, let's go by it. The Gemara says, Mahai Tana, the following Tana, Savar, he's the one who holds Lo Nischalka Yushlaim L'Shvatim. That Yushlaim was not divided amongst the Shvatim. The Tani, the Brisa, teaches us that Ein Maschirin Batim B'Yushlaim. You're not allowed to rent out houses in Yushlaim, Mipnei Shein and Shalem. They're not yours. And Rabbi Eliezer argues, Omer Af Lomitos. Not only that, you can't even rent out your beds, your property, your movable property, let alone the karka. You certainly don't own the real estate, but you don't even own the property that's there. Lefikach. So if I'm hosting someone, it's a big tircha for me. So there, lifichach oros kachim bali ushpizchim, the hide, the leather that comes back from all the karbanos, the owner gets to keep the skin. So when he brings it back to whatever he's staying, whichever apartment he's staying in Yerushalayim, the bali ushpizim, the hosts, no lino son bizar, that can forcibly take them. It's basically guys getting a free place to stay. So I need some rent, but I'm not allowed to take a rent. So they made it a deal that you get to, the owner, if you're the host, you get to take the skin. Amar Bai says, Shema Amina, we learn from here, Orech Ara, it's a Derech Eret, Lemishbak Inish, for a person to leave over, a Gulfo Umashcha Bushbiza. To leave over something, a little gift for your host. Rashi says, Gulfo means Kankan Shacharish Nishamishbo. You leave him over a gift of some type of a bottle. Or Mashcha is Im Shacha Behema, if you Shech the Behema, you give him a piece of the meat of some sort. You leave something, it's a nice thing to bring a bottle of wine, some candy, flowers, whatever the host might want. Now, this in this halacha here, that you're not allowed to collect rent in Yerushalayim, there's a mission in Makos, I think it's Daf Ches or so, that talks about Levim, who live in Ari Mikla, right? Ari Mikla, there's Machlokas. Levi, when Levi lives in Ari Mikla, they live in the various cities, so are they allowed to collect rent? What's the answer, Nachi? You learn that. Okay, Nachi. What's the answer? Is Levi allowed to collect rent? Okay, not there. Okay. Fine, so Levi, the Machlokas, the Mishnah, there's two deyas, whether or not in that Mishnah, whether Levi is allowed to collect the rent in Ari Mikla or not. So the Yushalmi has a fascinating explanation, the Inshin Chakir, that Yushalmi explains that what's the lum that's behind whether a Levi could collect it or not. When I get Ari Mikla, is that considered to me as a matana, that it's being given to me, that I own it? Or simply, now I'm forgetting the other side, it was either the Nesina or it's Betoris Chuma, I think it says. I'm not remembering exactly the Lashon. It was given to me to own or not to, and that's my focus. But the terms that are being used are much better than I'm not using any terms right now. But Mitoris Nisina, okay, I forget what it is. Either way, this machlok is whether the Levi gets the chelik of it or not. So when the Gemara says, the Pasuk says that Levi doesn't get any nachla in Eretz Yisrael, it's in the Isser, the Pasuk in Akab says, it's an Isser for a Levi and a Kohen to get any nachla. So the Mefarshim ask, well, how do they get Ari Mikla? So some say they don't, it's not theirs. They're just living in someone else's property. They don't own it, and that's why they can't collect rent. Others explain differently that, in fact, the Levi does get the chelik of Ari Miklat. It becomes his, and he is allowed to collect rent. So the big nafka mina, are Kohanim Levim, are they chayv in benching on a deraisa level? So Tosfos and Brachos, Daf Chaf and Beis, and the Rashba have a machlokas, whether the chayv in a deraisa or derabanan level, because one of the things we have to say, the Gemara Brachos says, is you have to say that nachla, right? You have to say in the no delacha, you have to say that ha'arich shenchalto lavosenu. So women are pater from benching because they can't say that. They don't have nachla. But what about Kohanim Levim? So Chosa says, no, of course we get Nachla. It's certainly Nachla we get, and therefore we're Chayiv on a Deraisa level. But I think as the Rashba says, they're only Chayiv Midrabanim because they don't really get Nachla. The Ari Miklat that they live in is not really theirs. And they're not Chayiv on a Deraisa level. We Paskin, they are Chayiv on a Deraisa level, because if they wouldn't be Chayiv, that means a Kohen couldn't be Motzi. You can't, a person who's Chayiv Midrabanim can't Motzi someone who's only Chayiv on a Deraisa level. Okay, fine. Let's get back to Megillah. Sorry. Amar Rava. Rava says, this whole discussion that you're not allowed to sell the properties is only when you don't have the board members, let's say, the seven members of the city, the high members, in the maimid in front of the entire city. If you have the seven board members, if you will, who are selling on behalf of the entire maimid anshe ha'ir, then you're allowed to sell all these different things listed in the Mishnah. Afilun, you could sell them, afilu lemishta beishecha. You could even use it to buy with it beer. Shaper dami, that's okay.
A beimish shita, like a bar or something. A place that they serve drink.
Okay, so Rashi says, lemishta beishecha, liknas bedamim v'lasa sheikhalisha. So you could do it to process it, a brewing factory of some sort. They drink beer. Okay, different gear styles, it seems. The Gemara says, Ravina havaleha hu tila debe knista. So he had a certain, til means a tail, a mound. Rashi explains it was once a shul that was destroyed. So he had this mound of where a shul once stood. So Aslakame Dirvashi asked Ravashi, Amr le, ma'u le mizre, can I plant seeds? Can I use this as a garden now? The shul is destroyed now. So Amr le, zil zvane mishevi tavair, bimaimin anshair, vizaro. Sell it. You know, sell it in the, you know, or buy it from them, from the seven Tovayir, the seven board members, and then you're allowed to do whatever you want with it. Rami bar Abba have a kabani bnei Knisha. He built a shul. Havia Knisha Atika, and there was an old shul in that city as well. Have a baile mistre. He wanted to destroy the old city, the old shul rather. Ulasui livnei v'kushura mina. He wanted to go bring all the different bricks and the beams from that old shul, vayulu the husband, and bring it into the new shul. So Yosef coming by, then he sat down and started to ponder. Coming by, like, Hod Rav Chista, Rav Chista has a statement that appears also more famously in the first paragraph of Baba Basra. Dam Rav Chista, lo lister beknista ad bani beknista acharisa. There's a klal. They made a gzera. You cannot destroy an old shul until a new shul is built. So he said, wanted to know, in this case, the new shul wasn't built yet. So maybe you couldn't destroy the old shul. So he tried to figure that out. Hasan, what's the reason why you can't destroy the old shul? Mishim Pshusa. Because you might end up being negligent. What's going to happen is you're going to destroy the old shul, and you want to have great big goals of building a new shul, but you run out of money. It happens. The shuls in this community, it's happened to. They ran out of money. So now what do you do? Now you're stuck with zero shuls. So to avoid this from happening, make sure the new shul is built up before you destroy the old shul. So now he said, now going to our case, Ki Hai Gavna, our very case, my, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? Why would this be any different? So Rashi explains two narrow lines down. Hai Gavna, my, She'ein stiraso ela lebinyano shazeb. You're destroying the old shul to use the materials to help build the new shul. So maybe this is better. The Gemara Baba Basra that Rav Chis is talking about is, your mom is destroying the old shul and not using any of those materials. So that's why it's no good. But here's better. You're destroying in order to build. So what's the psak? So he says, Asr lekamid Rav Papa. He asked Rav Papa some etza. He says, V'asr leilek. He's asked to do this. You can't destroy it even to use the materials. He went in front of lekamid Rav Huna. He also have Asherle, they forbid from destroying the old shul until the new shul is entirely up. Amar Rava, Rava says, Hai beknista chalufa v'zvunei shari. When it comes to a shul, you're allowed to chalufa, chalufin, chalipin. You could do a chalufa, you could switch it with another building. And you could also sell it. That's all permitted to sell a shul. However, ugro umashkono aser, to rent it out for some other purpose, where it still stands in the kedusha, or to have it used as a collateral, that would be aser. So my time, what's the reason why it's aser? Because it still stands as a kedusha. To give it over as a collateral, to give it over, to rent it out, to use for a party room, that would be aser because the kedusha still remains. But if you sell it and you switch it, so that money had now the kedusha transferred to the money, and now the shul could be used for whatever you want. Gemara says, now what about Livne Nami Chalufinu Vizvinu Shari? The various bricks of a shul can also be swapped with something else, and you could sell it off to use the money for something, and then the bricks can be used for whatever you want. That would be Shari. But Ozufinu Aser, but to use it to lend out money, to be lent, that would be Aser. So Gemara says, Hani Mile Bati Kasa. That's only true. This whole discussion of the certain limitations is only when it's an old, previously used shul where there's Kedusha. A brand new shul that's never been used, less than ba, you can rent it out and you can rent it and lend it out. Even the opinion holds in general Hazmana Milsi, that's Gemara in Brachos and Gemara in Sanhedrin, that when you designate something, that already the designation exists. So if you designate something, Gemara talks about when it comes to a mace, to designate a tachrichin, shirts, clothing for the mace. Or you do hazmana for a bag of tefillin, the Gemara talks about. Or you want to use this bag for tefillin, but I didn't place tefillin in it, but I already designated this for tefillin. Or you designated a room for the Beis HaKiseh, the certain halachas that you can learn in Beis HaKiseh. So one opinion thinks hazmana is las milsa. It doesn't work until you actually use it for tefillin, you use it for the bathroom. The other opinion says, no, hazmana, when I designate it, it actually does work. So even according to the opinion holds in general, that hazmana milsahi, that it works, when I designate this room as a bathroom, it's a bathroom. Even though I've never used it as a bathroom. I designate this bag, it's a film bag, that has kedusha, even though I've never used it. Even according to the opinion that hazmana milsahi, hane mile kigon da'orig bag lemeis. Only when you weave the shirt, now it's ready for the mace. You're just missing that one last step of putting it on the mace. Of a hach, in this case, when it comes to these bricks, kitavoi la'orig dami, v'lek leman damar. It's a step earlier. Before we get to the weaving process, you first have to make the wool. You have to make the yarn. So the spinning is the first step. So spinning the yarn, and then the yarn is woven, that's too far removed, the spinning. So here too also, the bricks is too far removed. Using the bricks is too far removed from being actually used for the shul. So since the shul was never actually used, it's brand new, that's not considered hazmana just yet. Does Rashi explain this? Let's see. Right, that's what he says. Okay. Gemara now says matana. So it gets to your question now. You ask about, just a person gives up the shul, walks away from a shul. So Gemara says, what about matana? Let's say you give it. In this case, you're not giving it away. You're not giving it to just walk away. You're giving it to somebody else to use. So matana, what's the halach? If a person gives the shul over, it's all yours. I don't want the money for it. Pligi ba rav acha ravina. There's a machlokas hamarar. Chad aser, chad shari. One thought this was aser to do. The other thought this is permitted to be done. Man damar aser. The one who thought this was aser. Bahai tafka kedush asa. It's aser, it's really should be bimai probably, right? Bimai, yeah? Okay, bimai. Bimai tafka kedusha asa. With what does the kedusha leave? You need some process for the kedusha to leave. The money has to, the kedusha has to fall on something, has to fall on the money, so it can't just walk, it just can't just disappear. So that's why they think it's aser. Uman deshari, those who permit it, ilav dehavile hanamine, lo havayavla. Had there not been hana for the one who's giving the shoe away, he wouldn't have given in the first place. So therefore, Havalei matana kizvini. Therefore, it's similar to selling, where there's a certain hana. Yes, this hana is not in the form of money, but there's some value for the person giving it away. Therefore, that would be enough to get rid of the kedusha of the base knesses. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes another brisa now. Tashmishe mitzvah nizrakin, tashmishe kedusha nignazim. Very important chilek brought down to Shulchan Aruch. When it comes to things of mitzvah, those things can be thrown out. So let's say, for example, the Gemara is going to give examples, but let's say tzitzis. Tzitzis is a mitzvah. It's tashmishe mitzvah. It's not tashmishe kedusha. Kedusha is defined by whenever there are osios in it. Tefillin, mezuzah, sefer Torah, osios there. That means it's kedusha. Whenever there's a mitzvah without osios, such as a tzitzis, a lulav, sukkah, that's tashmishe mitzvah. So the halacha is tashmishe mitzvah can just be thrown out regularly. You throw it in the garbage. Take lulav and just throw it in the garbage if you want. The poskim say it's really best to put it in a bag and then throw it in the garbage. That's the nicest thing. But mikra, then you can really just mamish throw it away. When it comes to tashmishe kedusha, tefillin, mezuzah, sefer Torah, that must be buried. So the Gemara now gives examples. Eluhin tashmishi mitzvah, sukkah, lulav, shofar, titis, those are tashmishi mitzvah and can be thrown away. Veluhin tashmishi kedusha, tuluskami, that's referring to klaf, svarim, sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzos, v'tiksha, sefer Torah, the cover of the sefer Torah, v'nartiksha, tefillin, the bag of the tefillin, which will say they're straps as well. So Amara, Rava says, Meresh Havamina, initially I had thought, Hi Krisaya, Tashmishu, this Krisaya, which Rashi says the Bima Shel Eitz, that Bima right there, he thought that was a Tashmish of a Tashmish, that was too far removed from the from actual mitzvah. And Shari, but then he saw Kevin de Chazina de Mosve, Aluya, Sefer Torah, then he started seeing people placing the Sefer Torah on top of this. Amina Tashmishi de Kedushu. It's not simply Tashmishi mitzvah. It's not just used for a chaz and davening musaf there. It's used for Tashmishi Kedusha because the Sefer Torah is being placed upon it, and therefore it's usur to just throw it out. You have to treat it with the proper Tashmishi Kedusha.
What's the difference between that and the Nartik Shot filling? That should also be Tashmishi Kedusha, not.
It is. It said it is. Yeah, very good. It is. And that's why it's very problematic for a person to lean on this bima. There's Kedusha.
No, but what's the chilik between tefillin and the
nartik shel tefillin? Tefillin is actual tefillin. The nartik is the bag or box.
But I'm saying they're the same level. No?
Yeah, which is that's exactly the point. Kedusha and tashmisha kedusha.
Yeah, kedusha and tashmisha are the same level.
Grouped together, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so that's what we're saying. So since a bima, a person places a sefer Torah on, it's tashmisha kedusha. A person shouldn't lean on the tashmisha kedusha. You shouldn't put any weight on it because it has a din of kedusha.
You're wrapping tefillin, aren't you?
That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to wear tefillin. But one should really avoid from leaning on a bima for this reason. It's not like leaning on a sefer Torah. There's certainly a level lower than a sefer Torah, but it still has kedusha to this. The Gemara says further now. Amar Rava says a similar statement. Meresh Havamina. Initially, I had thought, Hai Prisa, the Prisa, which Rashi says is referring to the Yiriya, the curtain that's in front of the Aron. Tashmish de Tashmishu. It's covering the Aron. The Aron's covering the sefer Torah. It has no kedusha to it at all. But then came in the chazina de aifilei. Sometimes they would aifilei, which they say means what? Whereas Rashi say anything? Umanche sifra alai. I think they remove it sometimes. Umanche sifra alai. They place the sefer Torah on top of it. Amina tashmish de kedusha. Now it's tashmish de kedusha and asur. So that would be the case by Rava. Now no one ever does that. No one takes the curtain and places it below the sefer Torah. So I would imagine our curtains would not have a din of tashmish de kedusha. Would have a din of tashmish de mitzvah, I would imagine. Fine further. This, by the way, explains that one of the big questions those who don't learn Gemara, or a lot of the younger kids ask the question, why do we learn Gemara so much? Especially, why do we learn all the Havaminas that get rejected? All these backs and forths. Because many times, things that get rejected are lalacha in other instances. So this is an example. Although Rava rejected that idea, that it's only Tashmish Mitzvah, it wasn't relevant for him, but for us, it is relevant. There's a Rashi that talks about the sugya of Elu Ve'elu Divril Kimchaim, Rashi and Ksubas Dafnan Zayim. So what does it mean that you have two multiple truths? How could that be possible? This one says Asher, this one says Mutter. He says because depending on different contexts and different people and different examples, sometimes you have to apply an Isser and sometimes you have to apply a Heter. Depends on different circumstances. So there are such a thing as multiple. This is a larger topic, of course. I know it's a whole can of worms here, but...
On some level, right, a wooden shtender having a higher level of Kedusha, you have to treat it with a higher level of Kedusha than tzitzis. On some level, isn't that a little bit of a confusion? Isn't that like confusing a little bit? I mean, to me, it's a confusing.
Wait, which point?
Because one is serving to support someone's bar mitzvah.
Okay.
It itself has no inherent kedusha, but the bar mitzvah, at least during the time of the mitzvah, seemingly has a level of kedusha. Or you can't take a bar mitzvah and throw it on the floor. I mean, after the mitzvah, seemingly it loses its kedusha, and whatever inherent kedusha it had is lost.
For what, the mitzvah?
Yeah, once the mitzvah's over.
No, even after the mitzvah's over, you have to treat it with a proper proper kavod.
Right, but you can still dispose of it.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Correct.
But if you have something that's serving to support something of kedusha, tashmish of kedusha, like your tefillin bag, that you can't throw out.
Correct. Right. I hear, but one's only serving something else, but yet the way we treat it is a higher level than... Than
right,
actual
something itself that was used.
That's the halacha, but it ends up being it's I guess somewhat counterintuitive. But granted, yeah, nothing.
What about like a jacket when you're throwing it touches its
phone? Yeah, just because it touches it doesn't mean it's going to have the din of a tashmish kedusha. It has to be where it's actually serving serving it. So like the bima is serving, it's holding up the Sefer Torah. And further, the Gemara says now, three wide lines down. Amar Rava, Rava says, Hi, Tivosa, the deer pot, the teva, the aron, that gets broken in pieces. Ma'avde, teva, zutrasi, shari. You can make it into a smaller aron now, use whatever wood still usable, and make a smaller aron. But krusaya asr, but to change into a krusaya, change into a bima, that would be asr, because a bima is less kedusha than the aron. The aron always holds the sefer Torah, that's its home. The bima is only temporary, so it's asr to go down a grade. Vama Rav, Rav says something else. Hi, Prisa, Dibala, the Prisa, the curtain that gets worn out and it's no longer usable. It's no longer a kavadik for the shul to use it. L'mavde Prisa l'sifrei shari. You could use it to, as in now make it into a cover for the Sefer Torah that we place on top when it comes between the aliyos. That would be permitted because that's still the same malach of really serving the needs for the Sefer Torah. But l'chumashim, but to use it as a cover for chumash would be aser. Now chumash means only parts of the Sefer Torah, not the entire Sefer Torah together. Another statement in the name of Rava, Amar Rava, Hane Zvili Duchumshe. Zvili Duchumshe, Rashi says, means what? Where's that Rashi? Is there Rashi? Zvili, it's Kimin Duchkami, certain types of cloth, I think, right? I think the cloth that's used to write it on. So the Zvili Duchumshe, the Kematri Disifri, and this is referring to the box that's holding on to Sefer Torah. These have a din of Tashmishe Kedusha Ninhu. The Nignazin, they require Geniza. Where it says Pshita, of course they do. Why would you think otherwise? They're serving, they're protecting the Chumash, they're protecting the Sefer Torah. Of course they have Tashmishe Kedusha. Mao, the same, what would you have thought? Hani lav l'chvod avid on l'inturi ba'alma avid. These were not made to honor the Chumash. They're made to protect it. And it was only Shmira. And maybe that's not considered serving and would not have a din of Tashmishe Kedusha. Kamashmal, they have a din of Kedusha to them. Okay, Gemara has a story now. Hahu Beit Knesset, there's a certain shul, the Yehudai B'Ramai, that the Romans had built, their Jewish Romans, that is, to have a pasach lahu adrona, there was opened up to a room to have a machas bay mace. Adjacent to the shul was a room for the keeping the deceased until it was buried. V'hayu ba'u kani l'malot tzlui, and the kohen wanted to enter the shul to daven. Now the loch is, when you have a mace in the same building, a kohen can walk into any part of the building, unless there's some type of mechitza. So it's very relevant going to hospices, going into places where you're going to have a mace. So this is a concern. How could the kohen walk in if there's that adjacent room would have it open? So the Gemara says, Asu Amrule, the Rava, they said to Rava, so Amrulehu, Rava says to them, Dalu Tevosa, take the Teva of the Aron, Osvu, place it there, near the doorway, block the doorway, if there's a mace in that room, Davale Kli Eitz Ha'asa L'Naches, a Kli Eitz, a wooden utensil that is placed to be stationary, so the Lach is, it's meant to be stationary there, V'Kli Eitz Ha'asa L'Naches, Einam Akabal Tuma, so the halacha is that a kelim are metame, and things that are not kelim, things that are grounded, a house is not metame. Forget negum for a second. Let's talk about real tumah. Tumas mace cannot be metame something that's stationary. It cannot be metame a house. It can metame something that moves. A good way to remember this halacha is when it comes to tevilas kelim. So only kelim that are movable require tevilas kelim. An oven doesn't require tevilas kelim. That's considered attached to the ground. Tevilas kelim is totally in certain halachas of tumah. So too also, when you have a wooden keli that's now placed in the ground, it's set, that's not subject to the halachas of tumah. So if it's not subject to the halachas of tumah, it also has the ability to block tumah from passing through it. If you take the aron, place it in that doorway now, and there's a mace in the other room, you block that doorway, and the mace can't come through here at all, so the kohanim can come into the shul, and you completely chatzitza between the mace and the kohanim.
Would that make it
tumah? No, that can't be makabel tumah, that's a halacha.
The fact that they actually moved this doesn't it make it into
a metabo? No, let's say you have one of those houses where there's modular houses, you move, those are also movable. But you place it down and now it becomes stationary.
What about the things that are inside of
stationary? Anything inside of it? So that the aron is going to serve as blocking anything from coming inside it. That back wall of the aron, nothing could go penetrate through it from Timon. So Gemara says now, Amrulei Rabbanan, Rabbanan say to Rava, it's a very nice Eitza, but V'ha zimnan d'metaltelei, ki marach sefer Torah layu, havelei metaltelei malei v'rekam. Sometimes they would actually move it. Sometimes they place the Sefer Torah in the Aron, and they wanted to move it in the position in the east, wherever this was located, in the proper place, and they would actually move it. So Rava didn't know this fact. He thought he wanted it to be stationary forever. If that's the case, he said, "Lo Asher, you're right, there's no possibility. If it's something that gets moved, then it does, it is Makabal Tuma, and there's no Eitzah. The only Eitzah is whenever there's a mace in the room, make sure the Yekonim leave. That's all you could do. Other than that, they can't daven in the shul." Right, they could have also built a wall of some sort, but fine. Gemara says now, Amar Marzutra, Mitpachal Svarim Shibalu, if the different cloths covering the Sifrei Torah are worn out, Osin Osan Tachrich Lemeis Mitzvah, you could use those cloths and make it for a Meis Mitzvah who has no family, unclear who the person is, and you could make it for the Tachrichim because no one else is around to pay for the Tachrichim. Mezuhik Yinitzasan, and that's the way to properly bury the cloth. Amar Rava, Sefer Torah Shibalu, it's a Sefer Torah that gets worn out. Goins and also, Eitel Tam Nechacham, you have to bury it, and the place to bury it is with next to Eitel Nechacham. Vafilu Shon Halachas, even though he's Shon Halachas, what do you mean even Shon Halachas? Even though he teaches, that should be, well, should Dafka one who teaches? What do you mean Afilu Shon Halachas, even one who does that? So the Rashi explains in the bottom here, Afilu Shon Halachas, the very last line, Kolomer Afilu Lo Shimish Tamidi Chachamim, Bashas, Begmara, Ela Bimishas Bebrisos. So there's a Gemara a few places that says, what's the definition of an Am Haaretz? So the Gemara says a few different explanations, things that we would think make sense. And then there's a opinion, I think, very mayor. Because you know what Am Haaretz is? It's a guy who learns Shas, Poskim. He teaches. He does everything, but he's not Meshamish at Tam Nechachem. So even though he's really great, he's still an Am Haaretz unless he's Meshamish at Tam Nechachem. When a few years ago I went to Eretz Yisrael, so I was zocheh to be on the same flight as Rav Willig. So we landed together, and I offered to drive him back, and he refused. So I said to him, "Listen, this Gemara always bothered me that I wanted to be Mishamish Tam Chacham. I know I'm an Amaretz for many other reasons, but at least let me try to get this aspect of Shimush Tam Chacham." So he granted me the opportunity to drive him up to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says here, even though he's only shown halachas, he only teaches, but doesn't have, he's not Mishamish Tam Chachamim, even that person is qualified enough to have a Sefer Torah buried next to him. The Gemara says further now, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Ubichli Cheres, and when it's placed in the ground, it should be placed in some type of earthenware pottery pot. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, pasuk appears I think in Yirmiyah, yeah. VeNasutam Bichli Cheres LeMan Yamdu Yamu Rabim. You place in Bichli Cheres this way; it'll be maintained and stayed kept for many, many days, many years. I think we should go a little bit further because of tomorrow. Just go a few lines to the top of Chav Zayin, if that's okay. And we're not doing tomorrow. I'll tell you the second in the schedule. Rav Papi, Mishmei de Rebbe, mi Beit Knista lebei Rabbanan Shari. Person to go from Beit Knesset, a shul, to a Beis Medrash, that's okay to do. But mi Beit Rabbanan lebei Knista, from going from a Beis Medrash to a shul, that's Aser, that's Maridim Kedusha. A Beis Medrash has more Kedusha than a Beis Knesset. So that's according to Rav Papi. Rav Papa, Mishmei de Rava, Masi Yipchi, he thought the opposite. He thought a shul was greater than a Beis Medrash. You should go the opposite direction. This is a very, very fundamental machlokas here, whether tefillah or Torah is greater. I spoke last week in the Ashkama Minin about the Mishkan was about an ohel, it's a makam Torah, and the Beis Medrash was a Beis Tefillah, so it was a makam tefillah. They both had both elements. Mishkan was Torah and tefillah. Also, karbanos were brought in the Mishkan, but be'ikr, Mishkan was an ohel of Torah. The Beis Mikdash also had Torah, ki mitzion teisei sora, and also the Sanhedrin was next to the Beis Mikdash, but be'ikr was really a Beis Tefillasi. So you have that balance, which one's the better? Each person's different, each community's different, but that seems to be the machlokas here, tefillah versus Talmud Torah. The Amar Rav Acha, Rav Acha says, kevaseh de Rav Papi mistaver, Rav Papi who says that Torah is greater, Beis Medrash is greater, he makes more sense. Why? Damar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Beis Knesset, Mutter Lasos, the Beis Medrash, because Rav Yeshua ben Levi, one of the greatest leaders that we had, he's actually a person who came back to life, we have in the Gemara, he paskin, you're allowed to change a Beis Knesset to a Beis Medrash, that's going up in value, Shema Mina. Okay, so I guess we'll stop here. And then I'll tell you that in a second. So then tomorrow.